Welcome, everyone. It is time for Living the Good Life right here on Tantalk Network. Tantalk Radio Network, 106.1 FM, 104.3 FM. If you're listening on the computer and you're in the Tampa Bay area, you can catch us on those two FM stations and three AM stations, 340, 350, 1400. So five stations that you can listen to, or right here on the computer, which is always fantastic too. So welcome, everyone. Let me get a phone right here. Hang on. And we will get Cindy joining us here in just a moment. Let me get you on. Is that you, Cindy?
It is.
All right. From Idaho, Cindy Henderson. You wonderful Beaconite, you. And we miss you very much from your days back here in Tampa Bay. And we're going to have a great show today. Betty's going to join us shortly. I don't know about you, Cindy, but I am loving this series in the book of Acts. We are seeing signs and wonders, and we are seeing answers to prayer, amazing answers to prayer in people's lives. And I know that you live in that state. I don't mean Idaho. I mean that state of hearing from God, seeing answers to prayer, and believe in God for amazing things. And how's your week been?
It's been rough.
Okay.
I work in the insurance industry. We're heading into open enrollment season, and overtime is kicking in. So it's been a very full, busy, kind of a jumbled week.
Okay. Well, we're glad you're on with us today, because I guarantee you after this time together, you will be blessed, and you will be a blessing. And, you know, the devil does that. He tries to give us these really crazy things that happen before we go on the air or before we begin to minister or whatever, because his goal is to discourage us and to make us think that, you know, he's stronger than the power of Almighty God in our lives, and he is not. And so often we just get kind of bogged down, don't you think, Cindy, with the stuff going on in our lives?
Oh, yeah. I'm fighting a migraine today, and it just, when that happens, things seem really bleak.
All right. Well, you know what? We agree with you in prayer right now. Maya and James from our ministry are here too, and the three of us plus you. And then Betty, when she gets on, we're going to agree right now that pain in your head leaves you and you are able to think clearly and be the powerful witness that God wants for you today. So we just ask God to heal your body right now, because there is not one pain, there is not one sickness, not one disease that is greater than the name of Jesus, as you know very well.
Amen.
And so, you know, we just agree in prayer for you. And right now, let's just do that. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come before you and together with you for Cindy, for the ache and the pain in her head. And we ask you to take it away from her, to cause her to be able to minister all that you have for her to do today. Satan, we bind you from interfering in this show in any way. And we just thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So we just thank you. We are victorious. And you are victorious, Cindy. And we thank you, God, that your power reaches to every single one of us and touches our lives in a powerful way. So whatever the needs are of our audience today, Lord, we just ask that you cause us to say the things that are going to minister to countless numbers of people, that we are able to play the music that's going to bless our audience, that we're able to teach the truths from God's word that are going to help so many. Lord, that's our prayer today. We thank you for it before we see it. We just praise you before we see it, because you are working mightily in our lives. Praise God, and praise God. So God is moving in Jesus' name, amen. Cindy, we just came from nursing home ministry, which we do the first Sunday of every month at Palm Garden in Clearwater. You remember that, and had a powerful time. James and Maya joined us for the first time, and it was a powerful time. And I'm just going to put you up there, Maya, for a minute, and James, put your mics on. They're they're here to sit and learn, but they're also here to comment from time to time. So, Maya, you were singing singing.
That's what I love to do.
And we were doing some crazy little Sunday school songs and the old songs for that group, weren't we?
Yeah. Songs that I grew up singing from the time that I was 19 years old in
right.
the church and
right.
and teaching junior church with my stepdad and
right.
just praising and worshiping yeah. even as a child.
Some of those little ones, old songs like Jesus Loves Me and all of those. I mean, they love doing those songs and they are a blessing to us. Don't you think, James? I mean, we go in there and we want to give out of our heart and our reservoir, but they give to us with their smiles. And did you notice some of them were not even able to hardly, you know, lift their arms or whatever, but some were tapping their feet and it was cool, wasn't it?
I tell you what, I walked in there and, you know, I expected to be able to give.
Right.
And I walked out of there receiving. Little lady, I can't remember her name, but when she grabbed my hand.
Right.
And just the biggest smile on her face. just, I told her I'd be back. And
right.
if her smile could get any bigger.
Yeah.
And that was me receiving.
Well, that's exactly that right.
It was so beautiful that I could make her face
yeah.
light up like that, you know, that God would put me in that place.
Well,
and I loved it.
You're so right. And we've been doing that ministry for over 7 years. It began when my mom was there after she fell and broke her hip, her shoulder, and her pelvis all at the same time. So in recovery, she went there, and we had one of our church members, Jeannie, who you remember, James,
yes.
there for a couple years. And so from that, they ask us to do a monthly service, and we do. And it's always a joy to see those their little faces light up. Mm-hmm. And as we're a part of their lives for just a few moments, but hopefully it carries through into their daily lives. And as we sing and praise God there. So that was a joy. And as always, we are joyful to be right here on the air. And this is, we are in our 12th year right here. And a couple Sundays ago, Maya, we celebrated something pretty cool around here. Cindy, we're sorry that we did not send you any cake to Idaho, but we were concerned about the weather and whether or not it would be good enough for you when
yeah,
you got it. So,
Boise.
Yeah, to Boise, yeah. Maya, what did we do here 2 weeks ago?
Our 600th radio show.
Yeah, was that wild or was that wild?
It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun, and we had a nice big cake and a whole lot of Beaconites here, even though Cindy did not come from Idaho, and she's still in kind of a little bit of trouble, but no, we just had a great time celebrating what God has done. 600 shows, and a lot of them are right here. TantalkNetwork.com. Go to podcasts. Go to the name of this show. That's how you find them. Living the Good Life, and they are right there. And a lot of them are on our website. Hundreds are on our website, and our website is easy: www.bohmglobal.com. BOHM stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries Global. So bohmglobal.com. Check them out. There's a lot of shows. And a lot of them on our website have titles of what we're talking about. We're in a series right now, and it is called Signs and Wonders, Study of the Book of Acts. Listen to this amazing song, Made Me Glad. I love this song. It's all scripture. Listen. Great song.
Thank you.
love this song. Oh, amen and amen. I love that song because it's the scripture, what David said about God. You are my shield. You are my very present help in time of need. You're my deliverer. You're my standby. You're my stronghold. Betty, are you on with us?
Yes, good afternoon.
Good
Pastor.
Afternoon. Glad
is
you
Cindy
and
Cindy on too.
Cindy is.
Hi, Miss Cindy.
Hi, Betty. Hello.
All right. And we have Maya and James, this lovely engaged couple that are newly back. James newly back with us after a few years, and his beautiful fiance. They're here in the studio. So we may ask him a question here or there once in a while. But they're just learning this whole thing here and enjoying being here. You know, there's something about that song. When we sing about the attributes of Almighty God, he's my deliverer. He's my standby. He's my stronghold. A very present help in time of trouble. What does that do to you, Betty? What does that do to you? And then I'll go to you, Cindy. And we're, by the way, guys, we're going to Acts chapter 8, so you can find that. Go ahead, Betty.
Well, I think one of the things it does is that it pushes us into a attitude of gratitude, because we know that
amen.
No matter the circumstances
yes.
that we've been in or we're going through, is that God is an ever-present help in time of need.
Yes.
That he's our counselor. He's our rock. He's our foundation. He is the one that, you know, God gave his son for us. And how, I mean, that's out of pure, undefined love that he had for us. And it's just, I tell you, it puts you, it lifts you higher. It increases your faith.
Oh, it does.
It makes you want to praise him. It makes you want to spend more time with him. I could go on and on and on with that question. But it gives us the opportunity to let God know just how much we appreciate him and how much that he's done for us.
So we just love to praise him. Cindy, what about you? We'll go to the last two verses of Acts 7 here in just a minute. Go ahead, Cindy.
Well, there's something about praise and worship music that just it lifts your spirit.
Amen.
It interacts with God's spirit in you.
Right.
To lift up your whole, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually, every aspect of your life and your being reacts to that praise and worship music. And there's a study that shows that in a congregation, as people begin to worship, their heartbeats sync up. So there's a huge, it's very powerful. Praise and worship is extremely powerful.
It certainly
and
is.
You can have a terrible, awful, no good, very bad week. And
no good, very bad week.
That's a children's book, by the way.
Okay.
You can then go into worship. And
right.
And immediately, it just washes that away, and you are in the presence of God, and you know, you're hopeful again, you're joyful again.
Yes.
It's just an extremely, and it says, the Bible says that God inhabits
he
the
does.
Praises of his people.
He loves
so
it.
How much that's how they took the walls of Jericho down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't fall because God reached down and, you know, flicked a brick in the wall. They marched obediently, and then the shofar sounded, and the people lifted up a praise.
Oh,
and that's why
yes.
That's why the choir and the shofar players were in front. It wasn't the armed mighty men. That
that's
were in
right.
Front.
It was the praisers.
It was the praise and worship team.
Okay,
out front.
So yeah. Now I can see mental memory here. of you, Cindy Henderson, standing in our church on Almerton in Clearwater many years ago, and you brought your shofar to church, and you played that, and sounded that battle cry. Betty, you would have loved, and James and Maya, you guys would have loved Cindy Henderson with that shofar. And so here we are, and we're seeing Stephen at the end of his life in Acts chapter 7. I wasn't going to start here, but God just said start here. So we're going to start here. Acts 7:54. And after Stephen preached this amazing sermon, it made all these people mad because he pointed out to the fact that they stood by and condoned the death and this and the stoning. I mean, the death of the crucifixion. So at this point in verse 54 of Acts 7, they go wild, and a rioting mob of catcalls and whistles and invective. But Stephen, I love this sentence, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, hardly noticed. He only had eyes for God. Boy, does that go along with what I preached this morning, James and Maya, doesn't it? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. That's Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And Stephen only had eyes for God, for Jesus. And when he saw him in all his glory with Jesus standing at the side of the Father, and he said, oh, I see heaven wide open and the Son of Man standing at God's side. Boy, that made him even more angry than ever. And they picked up rocks and they began to stone him. And in verse 59, as the rocks rained down, Stephen prayed. Oh, boy. That's when they're killing you, even literally killing you. Stephen prayed, Master Jesus, take my life. Then he knelt down praying loud enough for everyone to hear. Master, don't blame them for this sin. His last words. And then he died. Now we're going to talk about Saul here shortly in the chapter 8 of Acts. But I want to start with this because Stephen was so convinced of Jesus and who Jesus was. And he willingly gave up his life, said, yeah, just take my life. I'm done. You know, it's okay. I got to say what I wanted to say. I said my piece, you know. And so let's start with chapter 8. And this set off a terrific persecution of the church in Jerusalem. The believers were all scattered throughout Judea and Samaria, albeit the apostles. And the apostles were the original guys, the original 12. Good and brave men buried Stephen, giving him a solemn funeral. Not many dry eyes that day. I love the way the Message Bible says that. Saul went wild, devastating the church, entering house after house after house, dragging men and women off to jail. Forced to leave home base, the followers of Jesus all became missionaries. Whoa, this is the beginning of missionaries right here. Okay, they couldn't stay there because they would be killed. So they decided, okay, we're moving out. We're branching out. We're going outside our walls. We're getting out there. And wherever they were scattered, here's what they did. They said and say, oh, you wouldn't believe what they did to Stephen. They did not have any crying fits. It says wherever they were scattered, they preached the message about Jesus. And then we're going to meet Philip here. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes we are forced out of our comfort zone, Cindy. Sometimes we have to leave a job that seemed comfortable, or we have to leave a home for whatever reason. We lose a house, happened to me a few years back. We lose where we have lived, and suddenly we are thrust out there in a new adventure. And when we look at it that way, that God's got something new in store here, like these disciples did. Okay, we'll become missionaries. All right. Okay, so we can't stay right here. We got to get the word about Jesus out there. They understood their mission, Cindy. Talk about that, and then we'll go to Betty.
Well, if this hadn't happened, we might not be talking today.
That's exactly right. We wouldn't. Right.
You know, this is part of the worldwide spread of the gospel.
Amen.
And it started with persecution.
It did.
And I had to leave my comfort zone about a year ago, and I don't like it. it's not fun.
It's not very fun, is it?
It's not fun. It's not joyful. It's not comfortable. It's not, you know, it's just not. But what I hang on to is that God has a bigger plan. God has something better. And the reason I had to leave my comfortable situation was that it wasn't what he had for me.
Right.
It was not his best, and he wanted to give me his best. And so although it's been difficult and I don't like it, I know that there's something better.
Exactly.
That will come from.
And so often we find in life that the good is enemy of the best. Did y'all follow that? So uh-huh. often we're comfortable. We love our creature comforts, right? And we love things to stay the same. And Betty, and you have just gone through this. You and your husband Joe, your daughter Megan, her husband Ben. You all are now Michiganers. And just a few weeks ago, you and Joe and the 5 horses and the 150 dogs and cats, you all were still Indiana Hoosiers, and now you're not. And God forced you out of your comfort zone, Betty. And this is what happened to these disciples. You want to comment on that, Betty?
Yes. Sure.
While I sneeze again?
Go right ahead.
All right. Thank you.
God bless you, by the way.
Thank you.
One of the things that we have to face is, as did Stephen, is persecution. After persecution comes living for Christ. We had a hard time for a while, but you know what? I could have set back. Stephen could have set back. Those, you know, the people who set out, who expanded their tent stakes, could have said, I don't want to go. I'm just going to stay right here, and I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
But what we have to do is we got to pick up our bootstraps.
Yes.
And we've got to go. If God calls you, he has a greater calling mm-hmm. in your life.
Right.
There's much greater, sometimes we just have to cut the cords. We've got to cut the strings that's holding us back, because God has something greater. Sitting in church this morning, it's just revelation from praise music that, can hit you right between the eyes. You know, it's
yeah.
like you can't, you know, you can run from God, but he's still got his eye on you, because that's what makes him such a good father. Is, okay, God, you know, when you stand up and say, where do you want me? What do you want me to do?
Look
where
out.
Where is my place, Lord God, now that you've got me up here? What am I supposed to do? Well, the praise song hit me right between the eyes, and that reaching out for God's people.
Right.
The people that no one else wants to have anything to do with.
Right.
Those are the people that Christ wants. He wants the ones that we have a tendency to step over. They're the ones that Christ wants. So once you get out of your comfort zone,
uh-huh.
God sends the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is our comforter.
Yes.
And once you take that step of faith, watch out, because, you know, it's just like getting behind a speedboat in the water and you're skiing. You know, it's real quiet. The waters are calm until that boat takes off. And then people, you better hold on.
You better hold on.
That's what God's going to do. God is going to take us, and he wants us to be ever present. Of and listening and being patient, like we talked about months ago, about being in the waiting room.
Yes.
And waiting on God before we don't want to get the cart before the horses, so to speak. And once you get that alignment,
right,
it's nothing but, you know, it's forward, you know, straight ahead. You know, we were running a race. We can't stop. Because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to keep going and keep going forward.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, our word for today, and I know you too, I've already told you that on email, and James and Maya heard it this morning in sermon. The word for today is deciding. And the last several weeks of this series, we started out with thirsting, then we went to waiting, and we did 2 weeks on waiting because it's profound in our lives, right? Then we went to experiencing and then testifying. Then the week of the 600th show, we talked about declaring, and last week it was teaching. These are just concepts we're finding in the book of Acts. This is how the Holy Spirit's teaching it to us. I don't know. Today is deciding. And you see here, they were forced to make a decision because they were being persecuted. And so often we are forced out of our comfort zone, as we've been talking about. We may not like it for a season, but you know what? We look back and we go, oh, that was the best thing for me. Wow. I was uncomfortable for a moment, for a minute and a half. And I thought, oh my gosh, God, I haven't heard you correctly. But then... Mm-hmm. You see how it unfolds and how God's plan. And it's because, I'm going to play this song, I haven't played it for a while, Wonderful, Merciful Savior, because that's who he is. And for you listeners out there, that's who he wants to be for you. And if you don't know him as your wonderful, merciful Savior, we hope you will stay with us for this whole show, because we're going to give you an invitation to know him if you do not know him now. Love this song by the group Selah.
Precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. We do hunger for that healing power of God, His grace moving in our lives. Woo! Powerful song. Acts chapter 8. Because they were scattered, they went to different places. And we're going to talk about Philip for a couple minutes. He proclaimed the message of the Messiah. I'm not sure what verse I'm on. Maybe about 4 or 5 of Acts chapter 8. When the people heard what he had to say and saw the miracles, the clear signs of God's action, they hung on his every word. Many who could neither stand nor walk were healed that day. The evil spirits protested loudly as they were sent on their way, and what joy in the city. Basically, Philip stepped out in faith, went down to a town in Samaria. He began to preach, and as he did, signs and wonders, that's the name of this series, have followed him. Signs and wonders follow the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, and people were being healed. People were being delivered. I mean, revival broke out. And that's what happens when we are teaching the Word of God, when we are preaching and we are stating what God wants to do in our lives. Cindy, I love this about Philip, because he was just going crazy down there. And he had actually been one of the head deacons that was serving the orphans and widows back in Jerusalem. But those days were over and they all were scattered because they were now missionaries. And Philip found his groove, you know what I mean? All of a sudden, he's preaching and he is laying hands on people and they're being healed and set free and delivered. Woo! And you know what? That's for today, too. That's for now, too.
Amen. Amen.
So here we have, go ahead, comment on that if you want. Go ahead.
Well, it's just going right along with showing how that moving out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, they were, Philip was doing good work where he had been.
Sure.
And yet, we don't really have it described to us. You know, he was doing good work, but here he's memorialized for eternity.
He is, yes.
By having to move somewhere new. And
yeah.
And suddenly, here he merits mention of his new work in Scripture because of the calamity that had happened.
Right.
I mean, you face it. Somebody gets stoned to death. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's horrible.
That's tragic. And
well, it could demoralize everybody and cause them to scatter. But what it caused them to do is, yes, they left home base, but they went out as missionaries and started talking and teaching and preaching.
Absolutely. So we're seeing, I mean, just a few verses earlier, I don't know what the time period actually was, but just a few verses earlier, they're going through what is probably one of the worst moments of their lives.
Sure.
And then here, a few verses later, he has emerged as a powerful minister of God, and people are being healed, demons are being cast out. So it's his leaving his comfort zone is what needed to happen.
Exactly. Let's go over to verse 26 and see what happened to Philip. Because Philip was, I love this about Philip. He was having these revivals where it was just like standing room only, I'm sure. Or they were out in the streets and they were preaching and things were happening and people were being healed and miracles were happening. And then God's angel spoke to Philip in verse 26 of Acts chapter 8. And he said, he gave him instructions. And now, and I mentioned this morning in my sermon, but I want to mention it again, because so often we as Christians and in churches, we get into grooves, we get into habits, we get into the same way of doing things. And we're content there because it's working, you know, and we're seeing people saved, we're seeing people healed and whatever. But God is a God of surprises, and he loves to upset our apple carts of conventional thinking. You know what I'm saying? And so often when we think it's going to continue a certain way, it is not. It is not going to continue that way. And so God tells Philip tomorrow, well, he said at noon today. So this must have been early in the morning. Everybody see where I am? Acts chapter 8, 26. I want you to walk over to the desolate road that goes from Jerusalem down to Gaza. That was about 100 miles from the revival. Whoa, you got to be kidding. He set him on a path to go down this road to Gaza. Now, we don't know how far he got down the road. Surely not the whole 100 miles, but from Jerusalem to Gaza was about 100 miles. Okay? And so he got up and he went. And this word today is deciding. So, Betty, you've just experienced it. And there's so many times in our lives where we are faced with a change and we don't like it. And we have a choice to decide to go where God is leading us, or we have a choice to just sit tight and say, you know, God, you're doing great revival here. Everything's going great. I must have not heard you correctly. I mean, surely you wouldn't want me to leave the revival where I'm the star of the revival, right? and yet he does. He tells him to go there. And I think that we have tests continually in life, Betty, where we are, where God is saying, okay, here's what I want you to do next. And we're going, ugh, you know, it's working right now where I'm at. I really don't want to make that change. You want to comment on that, Betty, before we talk about the Ethiopian eunuch?
Sure. One of the things that I can testify in my own life is that God wanted me to grow. He wanted me to get out of my comfort zone where I had been for 12 years because he had something greater for me. And maybe in this particular scripture, you know, the God spoke to Philip and told him to go this way. Well, God kind of knows each of us differently, and he knows how we react to change.
Yeah.
And he knows that, you know, I like to change my living room around, and I like to do this and that. But for me to up and leave a place that I have been for X amount of years was very hard. So he prepared me. And one of the things that he did is one evening he told me to let it go. And I, you know, then in my presumptuous way, I thought, well, you know, what am I going to, you know, what do you want me, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to let go of? And when you say it was hard, it's very hard, especially when you have been, sorry.
You're okay.
It's very hard to leave something that you're comfortable doing. But then God showed me a new road to go down.
Okay.
He showed me that road from Jerusalem to Gaza. Mm-hmm. And he told me, he said, I wouldn't send you if I wasn't with you.
Ooh,
and
That'll preach right there.
I said, okay, then I guess it's time that you can teach an old dog new tricks. And you are old,
that's for sure.
I am old. I am not quite as old as you are, but
Oh, no. Go ahead.
But anyway, you know, age is just a number.
That's right, it is. Yes.
So you begin to understand once, and I've noticed that throughout the scriptures that you gave us, is everything says Holy Spirit.
Right. Holy Spirit leads. Yes.
The Holy Spirit will lead
you. Yes.
On where and what you are to do.
Right.
And so instead of slumbering where I was at, I had decided to wake up and said, okay, God, you know, you told us this many a year ago, Daddy God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do?
Right.
Where do you want to send your beloved Betty?
Right. Well, Betty Lou.
Betty Lou. Yeah, that's what he calls me, Betty Lou. I know it's him when he says that. Like, please don't call me that. But he does anyway.
Yeah.
But it all boils down to listening, respecting, and receiving.
And deciding. And, that's our word.
And,
deciding.
Isn't it deciding to do it?
That was the next word I was going to do. Thank you for helping me with that one.
You're welcome.
It was decide. I decided to follow Jesus.
Yes.
I decided to let him do the driving.
Mm-hmm.
I've decided to let him lead because I am a leader.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to back off and say, okay, God, I want to be a follower for just a few months. And you show me what you want me to do. Okay,
right.
It's been a month, and he's already shown me.
Right.
And I said, I can't. And I did. This morning I said, I can't do it. And he said, you can do all things.
Amen.
Through me. I am the one who will strengthen you. Sorry, just, you know, it's just one of those things that once you decide to follow him and once you decide to say, okay, God, where do you want me? Like we were just talking about a few minutes ago.
Right.
Be prepared.
Right.
Because the harvest is great.
It is.
I mean, he showed me today how great it is. And people,
right.
When he shows you how great that need is.
Right.
Your heart just melts. And when you decide that that's where you want to be and that's what you want to do, God will lead you. God will guide you. And
he
God
will.
Will direct you.
He will. That is perfect segue into what happened to Philip, and thank you for sharing that, because Philip made the decision in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, and he got up and he went, even though he left his successful revival. And he, as on the trip, on the way, he met this guy coming in a chariot who was actually coming from a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and was going back to Ethiopia. And he was riding in a chariot and reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit of God said to Philip, climb into the chariot. Running up alongside, Philip heard the eunuch reading Isaiah. No coincidence, Isaiah 53, that talks about the suffering Savior, that Jesus would die for our sins. And Philip said, very simple little question, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy says, well, how can I without some help? And so he invited Philip into the chariot. How like God to put us in situations. He wants to do this more and more. He wants to do this so that people can, as you present the gospel, as you present your faith, people have a choice. Do they receive it or not? And this man did receive it. We know that Philip even water baptized him because he received what he said. Let's listen to this song. I want to play this one today. I haven't played this one for years either. I'm pulling out some oldies. I Will Follow Christ by B.B. Winans, Bob Carlisle. Listen to this. It is cool.
The 12 of you walked on the earth together. The Father was a brother to you all. That you heard was the living word, the wonders and the miracles you saw. There were times of awesome inspiration. There were times you didn't understand. When he had to go felt alone, it must have been so hard to see his plan. I think about the way you carried on in the face of persecution. You stood strong.
So I will follow Christ. I will run the race. Fighting the good fight, standing on my faith.
I will wear the name of Jesus. I will give him all my life.
As for me, no matter what the sacrifice, I will follow Christ.
Now I don't have to look across the ages.
voice is speaking in my heart today. His word is like a flame, consuming all my shame. His life a shining star to show the way.
Folks, have you made that decision? Do you wear the name of Jesus? Do you say with all your heart, I will follow Christ no matter what happens and where I go and where I am led? And Philip did that. And in the end of chapter 8 of Acts, we see that Philip preached Jesus to the eunuch, and then he wanted to be baptized in water, and Philip said, sure, here's a body of water. Let's baptize you. And what I think is hilarious here in this, when they came out of the water, the Spirit of God suddenly took Philip off, and that was the last the eunuch saw of him. But he didn't mind. He had what he'd come for and went on down the road as happy as he could be. And Philip showed up in Azotus and continued north, preaching the message in all the villages along the route until he arrived at Caesarea. The Spirit of God actually transported Philip from that road where he willingly walked down and did the ministry God called him to. And then he just moved him. He just picked him up, and the Spirit of God just moved him. You don't see that very often, do you? It's never happened to me. I don't know. Maybe it will someday. Cindy, talk to us here about Philip and his dedication and his decision here.
Well, he went from the worst day of his life to being one of the few people in the Bible that's been transported,
right. Teleportation. Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's only a few in the Bible, and Philip's one of them, which is, it's amazing, and, right?
I've heard a few people talk about situations that have happened to them like this. It has never happened to me either. I'm still holding out hope.
Well, if it does, would you tell the Spirit of the Living God that you'd like to visit Tampa, Florida again, please? Clearwater.
Okay. I mean, swing by on my way.
On wherever you're going. Would you just stop by and chat a little bit? But go ahead.
I mean, this is such a God story here.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it?
I mean, here's a guy, he's holding a successful revival meeting, and God tells him to take a path to a desert.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have a whole lot of traffic through the desert back then.
No.
Probably not even now.
Right.
You know, but you notice he didn't ask why. He didn't question. He goes, oh, okay, you said it.
He decided to follow. Just like that song, I will follow Christ. It's my decision. Yeah.
So he takes off walking toward a desert and meets a guy in a chariot who happens to be reading Isaiah.
But that's how God does things, Cindy. You can't make this stuff up.
That's what I was saying. I was just going to say, you've heard that saying, you can't make this stuff up.
Right.
Just like that. And I had a situation where I drove from West Virginia to Kentucky to go to a conference, desperately needed money, and I'm driving back home, and as I'm driving, a wallet hits the road in front of me, and money starts flying everywhere. And
you're crazy, really? I never heard that story.
Honestly, yeah, this wallet bounced in the road right in front of my car, flew up, money starts flying out of it. And the person I was riding with, I looked over and I said, did you see that? And she said, what? And it's like, well, obviously you didn't. And it's like a wallet just hit the road in front of the car. Like,
did you stop and get some?
I pulled over. We spent an hour going up and down both sides of the road, collecting the stuff from the wallet, credit cards, business cards, everything we could find. Got home. It took me 7 phone calls to track the guy down, but he said, and of course this is back before internet was a big thing, you know, couldn't Google him. And he said, where did you find it? And as I told him, he said, you know what? I went to my truck to go to work. My wife called me, said I had a phone call. I stuck the wallet on the bed of my truck, the bed side, you know, the rail. Went in, totally forgot to pick it up. He said, I don't know how to explain it. He said, but I had driven a good probably 7 miles before that thing flew off in front of your car. He said, I guess you were just meant to find it. And he, you know, he asked how much money was in it. I told him what we'd been able to find. And he said, wow. He said, I had just cashed my paycheck. He said, that's almost all of it. And he said, tell you what, keep $50, send me the rest.
Wow. Well, praise God.
So it's crazy. I mean, it's just God sets you up for things like this where there's no way you could plan something
right.
like that. I mean, how do you plan to take a walk in the desert and meet a guy in a chariot reading Isaiah?
Exactly.
Who then gets saved and you're there to baptize him. That just, you know.
Well, this is how God works. I mean, and I tried to stress this morning in my sermon. God sees the big picture in our lives. And people come in and out of our lives, sometimes for a moment, for a reason, sometimes for a season, sometimes for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And we never know exactly what God's got a plan, but he does. And all he's asking is that we decide to follow his direction. That's what it's all about. We are going to come back on this topic in just a couple minutes. We're going to have to do station ID in about 3 minutes. But Betty, would you talk about the prayer ministry that you, Pastor Jim, and Shell send out the prayer requests? Would you talk about that? And by the way, Betty, I don't know if you saw that Pastor Jim, who is flying back from Indianapolis, they are having to put their dog down today, Misty, so he needs prayer. They need prayer.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw that. Okay.
We just walked out of church and I turned my phone on and I read that and I just prayed peace over both of them.
Yes, yes.
And they will see Misty at some point when they get to heaven.
Right.
One of the things that it's just like that instance there, if you have a need, you have a request, send it to prayers@bohmglobal.com.
Amen.
One of us will pick up that prayer, and we will send it out to the prayer warriors with a prayer attached. And we ask that once that prayer has been answered, to please send us a praise report, because Pastor Jim and myself, we keep track of those praise reports. And people, I am telling you, God answers prayer. And one of the things that we want to do is encourage you, no matter how big the request, no matter how small the request, God hears every one of them, and where 2 or 3 are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. We come boldly to the throne of grace with these prayers, and like I say, you can, if you want to be a part, say, hey, please add me to the prayer chain. We would be glad to. Just say, please add me, and we will add you as quickly as we can possibly pick up those prayer requests. But again, prayers@bohmglobal.com.
Absolutely.
God is answering prayer.
In a mighty way. Oh, there were so many requests today, but there were also so many praise reports and answers to prayer today. Mighty, mighty service. New people again. God is blessing. And so we thank God for what he's doing at Beacon of Hope, and it's amazing. It really is. So our Thursday night show is with Dr. Angel, the licensed mental health counselor, PhD, and she and I are, we have a show on Thursday nights at 6.06 p.m. right here on the station called Go Yard, which means hitting a home run in life. So I use my other name on that, Mama Mac, and that's what my daughters-in-law call me. So anyway, so it works well. Mama Mac and Dr. Angel, Thursday night, 6.06 p.m. It's a life coaching show. We're in a series right now on common mistakes people make in life. And part three comes up this Thursday night, 6.06 p.m. Or you can go to podcasts right here at tantalknetwork.com. Go to podcast, go to the name of that show, which is Go Yard, and you can catch up. We have a ton of shows in 4 years of doing this show. We have a ton of them on our website, which is GoYard2014. That's the year we started this show. GoYard2014.org. It's an O-R-G, not a .com. So check those out. Glad you talked about the prayer ministry, and we want everybody to give that email address out. When you meet people, say, here, send your prayer request to this, prayers@bohmglobal.com. It's our ministry. We want to help you. We want to bless your life with praying for you. That's what